Welcome to Behind the Headlines today with me, Alex Richardson. I've got your daily look at the stories our reporters have been covering right across the country today. We bring you reports from the very centre of breaking stories, as well as a more in-depth look at some of the news making the headlines. Today we see how the King's been celebrating his 76th birthday. We're also in Northern Ireland, where his son's been visiting today. And we're in Scotland looking at the death of a panda because of fireworks. My name's Alex Richardson, and I'll be your host for the next 10 minutes or so on Thursday, the 14th of November, 2024. First, and we're taking a look at what the royal family have been up to today, starting with the King, who's turned 76, celebrating his birthday like many of us do, by working. Although most of us don't have gun salutes to mark our special day. But apart from that, the King's treated his birthday as any normal working day today. This morning, His Majesty was at the opening of a new hub in southeast London as part of his project to distribute surplus produce to people in food poverty. Our reporter Claire Bode was there.
The Felix Project here in Deptford is one of two coronation food hubs opened by King Charles this morning. The Coronation Food Project launched 1 year ago and wants to bridge the gap between food need and food waste to help end food insecurity. Dame Martina Milburn is chief executive of the Food Coronation Project and said she hopes this will make a real difference.
I kind of think, why hasn't anyone done it before? But the food manufacturers and distributors have been so helpful and so supportive that I think it is really going to make a difference.
The King toured the facilities here today, including a fridge bigger than most people's houses. He then met children from a local primary school who sang him happy birthday and gave him a birthday card. And finally, when he was asked what he'll be doing to celebrate his birthday, he simply replied, not much.
Well, as the King celebrates his birthday, his son, the Prince of Wales, has also been busy. He's been in Northern Ireland for a visit. Although he did take the time to wish his dad a happy birthday on his social media account, I do wonder what he bought him as a birthday present, though I imagine the King's pretty hard to buy for. Well, William's trip to Northern Ireland today was supposed to take place in May, but was postponed because of the general election. Our reporter in Northern Ireland, Chelsea Keeley, has more about William's trip today, and it seems to have left a lasting impression.
His first stop was to the foyer in Belfast. It's a project aimed at preventing homelessness for young people leaving care. 18-year-old Thomas McGee told me what it was like meeting the future king.
Me, I didn't know anything really about Prince William, what he'd done, how he was like, but he sort of blew my expectations out of the water.
Can you elaborate on that? What was it that made you think, wow, he actually cares and actually knows what he's talking about?
Talking to him as a person, he just seems like really genuine. Even though he's got that royal title, he just seems like just like you and me.
It follows the launch of Homewards last June, an ambitious plan by Prince William to end homelessness across the UK within 5 years. He then travelled to Ulster University, where the students watched his arrival.
I think it's really cool him coming to Ulster University. You know, you think Northern Ireland's so small, no one would ever really come visit. And then we had Biden, and then now Prince William.
Yeah, it's nice to see someone coming to Belfast and Ulster especially, not Queens at least.
I don't know, he literally just showed his face for like 2 seconds and he's away on him. So.
The last stop of the day was meeting Belfast-born actor James Martin to discuss the growing success of Northern Ireland's film sector.
You're listening to Behind the Headlines, where we're about to take the look at the death of a red panda at Edinburgh Zoo. While still to come, we have an exclusive with the Health Secretary, and we ask if it's too soon to start getting ready for Christmas. We head to Scotland now, where Edinburgh Zoo's joining growing calls for a ban on the sale of fireworks. It's after loud bangs on bonfire night scared a baby red panda to death. Vets believe that three-month-old Roxy choked because of extreme stress. Our reporter Max Steele has been speaking to the attraction's deputy chief executive, Ben Supple.
Losing Roxy is incredibly sad, and it's even more tragic because of just how unnecessary it is in this day and age for animals to not just be being disturbed and cause stress, but in this instance, actually most likely dying as a result of fireworks. And I feel even more sad for our animal keepers and our veterinary team who care for our animals and have cared for Roxy. It's really difficult for them.
And so you want to see some action from the government then?
The fact that losing Roxy in this way is so unnecessary has, you know, really made us determined that we should be seeking tighter restrictions in the use and sale of fireworks, because that's the best way to protect animals like Roxy and to protect the welfare of animals outside of zoos as well, including pets in people's homes, horses and livestock as well.
Well, it's an issue that's been divisive for a number of years. Julie Dawn from Lincolnshire has been calling for tighter restrictions around fireworks. She handed in her petition into Downing Street ahead of Bonfire Night this year, with over 1 million people backing the campaign. She spoke to us after hearing about the red panda in Edinburgh.
It was just absolutely horrible. It was so horrific. The pandas are endangered, which is one awful thing. But even if they weren't, no animal should ever be subjected to something that makes it die out of fear. It's awful, absolutely awful.
Next on Behind the Headlines, and we can exclusively reveal the Health Secretary is looking to review how often babies have their heads measured as part of the routine screening for brain conditions. It's after campaigners from Harry's Hydrocephalus Awareness Trust raised concerns that the UK only measures twice compared with other countries, which monitor head size regularly throughout a child's first year. With this report, here's our regional correspondent, Victoria Glover.
The Get Ahead campaign is being spearheaded by parents whose children have been diagnosed with a brain condition called hydrocephalus. It's sometimes known as water on the brain, and it can be life-threatening if left untreated. Measuring heads is one way to help spot it. Caroline Coates' son Harry was diagnosed 7 years ago, and not long after she founded Harry's Hydrocephalus Awareness Trust, or Harry's HAT. She presented the case for more routine measurements in infancy to the Health Secretary.
We know the earlier a child is diagnosed, the better. He listened to everything that we had to say, and actually he was on board and he could see the impact of this and also how much it means to us.
But it's not just parents calling for this review. Dozens of paediatric neurosurgeons up and down the country are backing the move to pick up on any abnormalities early. Will Singleton is a consultant paediatric neurosurgeon at Bristol Royal Hospital for Children.
The gold standard should be a documented head circumference at birth. I don't ask for much really, but you'd be surprised the number of children that come to clinic that don't have a documented head circumference at birth. And then again, a couple of times within the first 6 months of life would be the obvious thing to do, because you'll pick up those children that have developed hydrocephalus after they were born. And at the moment, that is certainly not happening.
In the UK, current guidelines recommend just 2 routine head measurements: when a baby's born and again at about 2 months old. But that's when monitoring stops. So what has Wes Streeting said about this? Well, he told campaigners they'd put across a strong case and promised to look at whether the UK should be offering babies more routine monitoring. That would bring us in line with other countries like Norway and Finland, where 10 and 11 measurements are taken in a child's first year.
I'm really grateful for the work that Harry's HAT are doing, not just to support babies, children and their families, but also to shine a spotlight on this really important patient safety issue. And in fact, I'm be seeking advice on a clinical review of the current guidelines.
Well, the Get Ahead campaign has cross-party backing and support from the Speaker of the House of Commons, Sir Lindsay Hoyle.
Shop workers in Lancashire who are having to wear body cams to work have welcomed a crackdown on shoplifting from police. The force's new Operation Vulture aims to stamp out the problem, which has seen some abused and attacked. Our reporter Stan Tomkinson has more.
It's a problem that can leave workers dealing with prolific offenders and abuse multiple times a day.
Even like walking out, like obviously you can deal with a shoplifter in store, they can abuse you and stuff verbally. And then you can walk out on your dinner and you might see that same person again.
That's Abby Paxton, who works in a store in Preston. She's been talking to us as the police are cracking down to make our high streets safer. The police say that as well as having more bobbies on the beat, under their new scheme they're being given more powers to tackle the most prolific offenders. Chief Inspector Chris Abbott says it sends a clear message to businesses and workers.
We are absolutely on their side and we are there for them. And we hope that this will reassure people and just give them that confidence that we will be there when we are needed.
Well, the police say that since March they've already made over 600 shoplifting related arrests under the scheme.
And finally, we've only just got Halloween and Bonfire Night out the way, but yes, Christmas is on its way. And you know it's getting close when John Lewis bring out their Christmas advert, which they did today. It focuses on a woman's quest for the perfect present for her sister. We've been asking people if it's too early to start celebrating Christmas.
Absolutely crazy. It should be week before Christmas. We get to September and it's Christmas.
Christmas stuff is out before Halloween. That's kind of ridiculous, right?
It's too early. It should be December and when it's crisp and wintry.
Well, I must say, I've seen a couple of decorations up already. It does feel a bit early, but hey, whatever makes people happy. You can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station website, or come back here tomorrow where you can get your podcasts for another daily roundup of the stories that we've been covering on Behind the Headlines.